In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Whenever I hear or read this passage from John's Gospel, when the man born blind insists that it was in fact he who was healed by Jesus by saying, "I am the man," I'm reminded of a time when, in search of a specific type of heavy copper wire for a sculpture I was making, I was helped by a worker at a large industrial material supplier. After showing me exactly what I was looking for and cutting me the length of wire that I needed, I thanked him by saying, "You are the man." Without a moment of hesitation, he looked at me and said, "Nah, I'm not the man. I'm just one of them." Last Thursday, our church staff at a working lunch spent about an hour and a half debating how, as a church, we would respond to the growing need for social distancing in response to the coronavirus. By the end of that meeting, we had agreed that we would err on the side of caution and be the first church in the diocese to voluntarily close our doors for public gatherings. When walking back to the church, I stopped at a coffee shop and ran into Jean-Michel, the executive director of Friendship Place. Jean-Michel was with some of his staff, and after greeting one another with an elbow bump, I suggested that he and his staff were probably engaged in the same conversation that our staff had just finished. "Yes," he said, "we're trying to figure out how to care for people." By the time we got back to St. Albans, we had learned that in a matter of hours, the bishop would communicate to the diocese that all churches and church buildings would be closed for business for the next 2 weeks. Since that time, of course, the length of time that our church buildings will be closed has reached into Holy Week and Easter. The mandate for social distancing has grown, but in the midst of all of this, what I have witnessed is something that I can only think of as the opposite of social distancing. What I mean by that is that in the midst of this crisis, what I have witnessed more than anything else is not distance, but kindness. I've had to create a folder in my inbox that I've called Help Me. Help Me is where I keep all of the emails from parishioners, many of them being newcomers, who have written to offer their support for members of our community. Thanks be to God, and while we all pray and take the appropriate actions to reduce the effects of the pandemic, at this point, as a church, we have more offers by those willing to help than we have requests by those who need it. Recently, I learned from a friend about a telephone app being used in their community in Northern Virginia so that local residents can make requests and inquiries with their neighbors while remaining in their own homes. A St. Albans parishioner recently told me about how they are working with the administrators of the building that they live in to ensure that the needs of every resident in their community are met. All of this is to say that in your own isolation, whatever that might be like for you, if you need something, say something. Recently, I read an email from Matthew Sorens, the National Director for the Evangelical Immigration Table, an organization that encourages Christians across the country to learn more about the biblical mandate to love the stranger, and teaching them how to live out that mandate in churches, in communities, and in our nation. Sorens writes, "As we adjust to this situation and care for our families, I'm trying to use this unique time to be more faithful in prayer." Theologian Esau Magali shared a suggestion that I've been trying to adopt. "As I wash my hands more frequently and for longer than normal, I'm using those 20 seconds to pray specifically for all those who are affected by the COVID-19 crisis." While there is never a good time to experience what as a nation and as a world we are experiencing, as Christians there couldn't be a more appropriate season to do just what Sorens suggests. As we move toward the reasonable and holy hope of Easter and resurrection, perhaps we too can use this unique time and experience of wilderness, our collective Lent, perhaps a time that for some of us will also include lament, to be more faithful in prayer, and perhaps a time to focus on another biblical mandate, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. On Friday, hopefully you received the full extent of the readings appointed for this fourth Sunday in Lent. For purposes of brevity, we have not included them in their entirety for this recorded Eucharist, but they couldn't be more apropos for the time that we find ourselves in. The reading from 1 Samuel reminds us of our need to pray for faithful, capable leaders. The reading from Ephesians reminds us that our calling in this time is to live as children of light. Praying the 23rd Psalm reminds us that we shall never hope in vain, nor shall we ever face our perils alone. For even when in the darkest valley, God's rod and God's staff are our eternal comfort. Today's gospel reading calls us to see Jesus, our strength, our Savior, and our healer, and to live in a way that others, from time to time, might just see Jesus in us. Not to be the man, but to strive to be more like him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.